And now back to the Jennifer Fulweiler Show, a family-friendly show.
I have my children here. Let's start with Lucy Fulweiler. Lucy, it's been a while since you've been on the show. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
And we have Kate making cat calls in the background. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Remember when I said don't do anything weird on Mommy's radio show?
Yeah.
We never said a normal family-friendly show.
Jen Fulweiler, so happy to have another hour with you. Don't forget that you can always look up full episodes of this show on demand on the SiriusXM app. You can also listen live. Now, I spent the last segment playing Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You as a tribute to my iPhone. I love my iPhone. My only complaint is that I wish I had more time to spend on it. However, these sorts of things can become an addiction. We understand this as Catholics. You know, keep in mind, we are not Puritans. We are not one of those branches of Christianity that thinks anything that's fun or good or entertaining is categorically evil and we must hate it and want to destroy it and all of that. That's why we have these times of feasting and fasting. It's like with food. Can food become an idol in our lives? Can it become an addiction? Can it get absolutely out of control? Yes. Does that mean that food is categorically bad? No. So that's why the church gives us times to appreciate it, to feast, and then times to take a step back and really think about it. Certainly, our phones, our screens, they can become addictions. And that's why I am glad that TJ Burdick has turned his talents to the subject. He has a book that's coming out soon. It is called Detached, Putting Your Phone in Its Place. I was joking that my phone's place is in my hand, right in front of my face. But I think that that's maybe not what TJ meant. Let's hear what he has to say. TJ, welcome to the Jennifer Fulweiler Show.
Thanks, Jen. I really appreciate it. I had no idea about the I Will Always Love You remark. That's kind of disturbing, but awesome at the same time. You did mention one thing, that food isn't categorically bad. There are foods that are categorically bad, like yellow starbursts and things of that such. But
And cilantro. That's true. Cilantro from the devil. We understand that as Catholics, categorically bad. That's true. That's true. And I don't know about yellow starbursts, but I will go with you on that. So, you know, TJ, one of the things that I really like about your new book, it's coming out soon. People can pre-order it now. It's called Detached, Putting Your Phone in Its Place, is you talk about this idea of resistance. And this is something I love to talk about. It's a concept that I only discovered 5 or 10 years ago, and it's absolutely changed my life. And I absolutely agree that our screens can totally become a source of resistance. And I wanted to start with this angle because this can change people's lives if they clue into this concept, again, as I did only relatively recently in life. So start by describing what is resistance?
Well, as you know very well, the author Stephen Pressfield wrote the book The War of Art, which you mentioned in your book, One Beautiful Dream. I think you have a whole chapter dedicated mm-hmm. to resistance. And it's something that creeps into our lives and keeps us from becoming who we should be. And I was speaking to a Dominican friar friend of mine who's a chaplain at a university, and he said that one of the number one things that he hears in the confessional, obviously he hears all sorts of sins, but all of these sins, the vast majority, 90% of them, have something to do with screens. If people aren't viewing pornography, they're binge-watching Netflix, or they're doing something else, or they're spending too much time on their phone texting with their friends instead of actually, you know, going out with them. There's this darkness about technology use that we all feel from time to time, and we all have this sense that we need to get away. We need to, you know, retreat. And I think that's us kind of answering this resistance piece, this idea that it's looming around us, there's this energy around us that's dark, and we want the light. And so we have to figure out how to, you know, overcome this resistance and pursue who we were meant to be, and who we were meant to be as Catholics, who we were meant to be as people, even in our jobs, our workplace, our friendships. All these things can keep us from becoming, you know, the best possible version of who we are. Well, we have to get over this resistance. And I think cell phone addiction and behavioral addictions with technology screens in general have a lot to do with that looming darkness that surrounds us.
So that's a really compelling data point, TJ, that your priest friend, and this resonates with what priest friends of mine have told me as well, that 90% of what they're hearing in the confessional has something to do with screens. It could be anything from pornography to just arguing with people on Facebook to staying up until 4 a.m. on a weeknight, you know, binge watching a show. And so I think it's very important that people understand this concept of resistance, that it's anytime you try to move forward in any positive way in your life, when you try to create something positive, let's say you're thinking about starting a ministry at church, you really see a need at church and you're thinking about starting that, you will face resistance. And this is something that atheists, Christians, Buddhists, I mean, everyone recognizes this concept. As Christians, we would say, you know, it's spiritual attack. There are evil forces in the world. But even our atheist friends and family members agree that they might not say that it's spiritual, but they agree that something called resistance, that this negative force exists, and it will rear its ugly head any time you are trying to make positive change in your life, whether it's starting a new workout routine, starting a ministry at church, finally writing that novel. You know, I'm sure you faced it writing this book, TJ. I mean, anytime we try to do anything positive, you will face it. And I would agree that our screens can become a tool of resistance. Now, they can bring good things into our lives as well. But TJ, you talk about this kind of thing in your new book, Detached, Putting Your Phone in Its Proper Place. How can we tease out when you're using your phone for good, when it has a positive place in your life, and when maybe it's becoming a source of resistance in your life? How do you draw that line?
Well, I like statistics, and so I mentioned a couple in the book. One of the things that I found is that in the developed world, the vast majority of adults, 18 to I think it was like 54, 24 to 54, they spend about a little bit more than three hours in their phone, and so that's every day. And if you multiply that, that's obviously more than a part-time job. You're actually on your phone. And so the next question is, okay, if you're on your phone for that much, what are you actually doing? And so I did a little bit more research, and I found that the vast majority of people, once again, same age group, and if you go lower in the age group category, they'll say that they'll spend anywhere from 50 to 90% of their time on their phone just wasting time. They'll be playing games, they'll be on social media, scrolling endlessly, not doing anything per se that is going to be helpful to their lives. But just wasting time. And I thought, you know what? I think there's a lot more that we can do with the 21 hours in our week that, you know, we're wasting time on our phone. So I put myself to the test. I downloaded a monitoring app. I decided to see how much I was online.
Wait, yeah, and say the name of that again. You downloaded a monitoring app, you said?
Yeah, there's a couple. In fact, there's one. The one that I use for my iPhone is called Moment. It's a fantastic. I've spoken with the creator. He's a great guy. It's probably my favorite. If you go to inthemoment.io, you'll be able to download that. It's free. It's awesome. If you have Android, Quality Time app is probably the best one. But you should know, too, moving forward in the fall, digital wellness has become a huge thing. And Apple and Android are coming out with digital wellness products that will be actually on our phones. And we won't necessarily have to download apps. They'll tell you how many minutes we're spending on Facebook, how many minutes we're spending on texting, how many minutes we're talking, how many minutes we're actually scrolling. And actually, Facebook has already started this on their mobile app. Some people are actually able to see what their activity is on Facebook right now, how often they post, and how often they just scroll. Like, their scrolling time right now that's actually available on Facebook to be on your mobile app. So it's like people are understanding, even big companies like Apple and Android are understanding that this is the issue. And so they're moving forward this fall with some new digital wellness projects, which will come on all of our phones, I believe coming this October. So that was another real reason I wanted to write this book, because, you know, I think these wellness apps are great, and I think they're great, but it's a good first step. But it's basically like babysitting for adults. I mean, we're adults. We should be able to, you know, stop this on our own track. We should have the will and the desire to be able to pursue something greater than just wasting time on our phones. And that's why I wrote the book, was to be able to guide people towards this spiritual enlightenment that is keeping you from your phone. So, I mean, that's keeping you from being spiritually active, which is your phone. And so it's all about a 21-day journey, to do-it-yourself retreat. I don't tell you to take your phone and break it and throw it, you know, into the lake or anything like that, because I don't think we can do that. I think we've gotten to the point in society that You need an email address to at least apply for a job. You need to be connected. But it doesn't mean you have to be attached to the connection. And that's the whole point of the book, to realize, you know, what point in your life you actually need it, what's going to help you become successful, efficient, proficient in your job, and what you can eliminate so that you can actually dedicate your time to doing creative acts or to praying or contemplating and actually fulfilling God's mission for you.
Yeah. And again, the book is called, it's coming out soon. People can pre-order it now. It's called Detached, Putting Your Phone in Its Place. And I would say, TJ, this is a good thing for families to go through together, to unite with your kids and say, okay, you guys are staring at screens too much, but I know that I am too. So let's look at this all together. Let's admit that we all have a tendency to be a little bit addicted to these devices, and let's work through this together. And I could very easily see a family discussion coming of the 21-day journey that you walk people through in Detached. And one of the things that I took away from reading Detached, TJ, is that screens are particularly dangerous. They're very, very dangerous if you are not currently living intentionally. And here's what I mean by that. You know, the phrase intentional living is thrown around a lot these days, but I think it is actually a very important concept that everyone needs to think about. And that is just setting aside that time for yourself, if you're married, with your spouse, to say, what do we want out of our lives? What do we think God is calling us to? What do we want out of our days? I mean, what does the perfect day look like? And when you have that sort of sense of mission of saying, hey, you know, I call myself Catholic, but I never pray. I haven't been to daily mass in, you know, forever. I'm not making it to confession. And saying, hey, I want to change that. I want to have time for prayer every day. I want to have time for things like confession, daily mass. Maybe I have some personal goals with fitness or with work, or you talk about following your passions in the book, for, you know, doing that thing that I think that God is calling me to share with the world. None of those things happen on their own. No one accidentally stops by the confessional, you know, when they were trying to get home to binge watch a show. You have to be intentional about those sorts of things. And I've found, and this goes up and down for me in my own life, so I'm not suggesting that I have this all figured out, but when I'm in a phase where I am living very intentionally, and I'm saying, yes, tomorrow I will have prayer time, I will have exercise time, I will have time to work on my passion, time with family. When I'm in that mentality, screens naturally fall into their proper place. You know, I might watch one show to let off some steam at the end of the day, and I can leave it at that. But when I'm just kind of drifting and I just sort of don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, I haven't thought about my goals, I haven't thought about the life I'm living, that is when, if I had one of those apps, it would be like, Jen, you're always looking at your screens. Like, it would be easier to show you the time you're not on your screen, you know? And that, I mean, and that's kind of what you're getting at with the book, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. In fact, the power of silence that's how God communicates with us, is through silence. And so that's when all the things that you just mentioned, you know, the creative aspect, the muse that kisses you, or the urge to want to do exercise, all these things occur when we are in like a bored state of silence. We don't have anything around us. There's nothing that we're actually, you know, focused on. And we have this sense of, oh, you know, I should be doing something. What should that be? And that might be prayer. That may be, you know, whatever it may be. But God communicates through us in those moments of silence. And those moments of silence are becoming less and less common because we fill them with screens. And screens, they inundate your mind with what I call a soundless noise. It's something that, in my book, I highlight how when your mind is completely focused on something, so let's say you're doing some sort of math problem and you really have to focus on the formula, your mind is operating at only about 1 or 2% capacity higher than when you're just sitting around doing nothing and just thinking and pondering, and you're losing yourself in thought. That basically says that your mind is constantly going at about 95, 97% really active all the time when you're not sleeping. And so when you're lost in these moments of thought, your percentage of thought, your thought process is going down a little bit. But every time you turn on a screen, it automatically bumps it up as if you're doing a math problem. Doesn't matter if you're on a game or you're, you know, watching TV or doing whatever it is, your mind is focused on that thing, and you lose that 2% in which you could be lost in thought. And isn't that what contemplation is? To be lost in a conversation with God. And I think this book was designed so that we could have more moments of contemplation while we still have our phones in our lives. Because as you said before, when you're intentionally living, you know exactly everything, all the priorities are falling in their proper place. And I think more often than not, we give our phone a lot higher of a spot on that totem pole than it deserves. And that is causing destruction in our spirituality.
Yeah, it. You know what also resonates with me about this, TJ, is I find that I often do my best thinking in the car. And it just occurred to me when I was talking to you, I bet it's because I can't pull up my screen when I'm in the car. Like, that's probably why I'm doing such good thinking there, is because another guest was talking about how in conversation, you can only do small talk for 7 minutes. After 7 minutes, there's this sort of pain point where you run out of talking about the weather and, you know, what's new, that sort of thing, where you have to go deeper. And he said, studies show that is when we tend to get out our phones, is when you hit that painful 7 minute mark. And so it reminds me of that, thinking that I often do my best thinking and my best talking in the car. It's because I can't pull out my phone to distract myself when I hit an uncomfortable thought or, you know, something that I want to run away from. And that was something I've been thinking about since I read Detached, which again comes out in a few weeks. People can pre-order it now. Is that we need to watch for those moments when we're just mindlessly picking up our phones to just get that dopamine hit. That it, at one point, TJ, I did no screens for a week, like no phone, no anything. And interestingly, I found that I ate a lot more junk food during that time. And it was because I wanted that instant fix, that dopamine hit. And it made me realize that that's, you know, what I was using my phone for. So TJ, we're about out of time, but you know, what is something that someone could do today other than pre-ordering your book, Detached, putting your phone in its proper place? What is something that our listeners can do today, some practical tip to start changing the role that their screens play in their life if it's maybe gotten a little bit out of control?
What I would recommend is I recommend visiting a site that I created called godswifi.com. There I've created a free ebook with 15 steps that will kind of get you started on things that you can do to, you know, eliminate the chase from your life, from your digital life, so that you can grow more spiritual in your daily life. So it's godswifi.com. It's a free ebook. When you download it, you're subscribed to my email list, and you'll get updates every time I post. I usually post once a week on this very topic about, you know, digital distractions, about spirituality, theology, and how it all makes us and makes us better people, and how we can use it for our advantage, use it as a tool to kind of bridge that gap between us and God.
And you can print out the free ebook so that your screen's not distracting you while you're reading.
Right.
That would be me. I'd be trying to read your ebook about not being distracted by my phone, but then I'd get a text and it would have a link. And, you know, before I know it, it's 2 hours later and I've been on Twitter the whole time. So, TJ, I love the idea. Tell us again the name of the book and where they can look you up and get this free stuff.
Okay, so the free book is godswifi.com. You can head over there. It's called God's Wi-Fi. And then the book itself comes out on October 1st. Piece of little flower. It's called Detached. Put your phone in its place. You can go to detachedlife.com right now and pre-order that through Amazon or through Our Sunday Visitor.
All right. Really appreciate it, TJ. Always great to chat with you. And we hope to chat with you again sometime soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jen.
All right. Take care. And, you know, I want to reiterate one of the things that came up when I was talking to TJ there. It is in my own life, and I've done a lot of experimenting with having screens in your life, getting them under control. I do a lot of personal experiments on that. I have found that when I am living in a strategic and goal-oriented way, I naturally keep my screens in their proper place. Like, for example, I don't necessarily want to go binge watch 5-hour-long episodes of a show if I have big plans for tomorrow that I'm excited about. So I've actually been trying to do some daily rituals. I got this idea from Michael Hyatt. Do you know Michael Hyatt? You should know this guy if you don't. He used to be the publisher of Thomas Nelson, a big Christian publisher. And now he's just on his own. And he's kind of a motivational life hacker type guy. So Michael Hyatt talks about the importance of having daily routines. And I've realized that if before I wrap up my workday, And this is even when I have days off. I mean, before sort of 5 p.m. rolls around, even when I'm at home, when before dinner time rolls around, if I take a minute to take a step back and say, all right, what do I need to do tomorrow? What would make tomorrow a great day? What are a couple of things that I could accomplish? You know, maybe finally do a movie night with the family or have some one-on-one time with the kids. It doesn't have to be something, some massive undertaking, but what would make tomorrow a great day? What time do I want to get up? Can I make some time for prayer, even if it's 5 minutes, to just sit in silence with God, maybe read the Bible a little bit? And so when I get that vision together, all right, so this is what tomorrow would look like, would make tomorrow a great day. Well, I don't want to be on Twitter until 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm excited about tomorrow. That'll mess up my whole vision of what a great day tomorrow would look like. Now, I don't always do that. I don't have a vision for tomorrow. I'm just kind of drifting through my life. And then I am on Twitter till 2 o'clock in the morning. You guys who follow me there know that. Sometimes I'm tempted to tweet and I'm like, I really shouldn't do this. It is 3 a.m. my time. Everyone will know I'm being totally irresponsible. I was probably up late because I'm binge watching shows again. But sometimes you'll see it. You responsible people will be scrolling through your Twitter timeline at 6 o'clock in the morning after your morning jog. Before you're heading into daily mass, you'll just check Twitter real quick to see if you can like share a prayer with someone. And you'll say, wait a minute, Jen Fulweiler, update 3 hours ago. Wait a minute, it's 6 a.m. When was she was on Twitter 3 hours ago? Like when the rest of us are about to get up and start our productive days? So I'm the worst. I'm the worst at this. But I have found it really helps me keep things together and not do that sort of thing. When I have a plan for the next day, I have a vision that I can get excited about. And even if things don't go my way, even if everything falls apart, at least I had that vision. And that keeps me naturally inspired not to watch Westworld until 2 a.m. and then sit there and retweet stuff until 3 a.m. Because I'm saying, hey, I want to be in bed by midnight so that I can have this great day that I've gotten excited about for tomorrow. And a lot of that does come back to habits. And I got this idea again from Michael Hyatt. He talks about this quite a bit. Have daily habits that set you up to have a positive and successful day the next day. So again, I don't do this as often as I should, but it really does change my life when at the end of the workday, I set aside 5 minutes to get myself organized and say, what do I want out of tomorrow? It really, really has changed my life. So you can Google Michael Hyatt stuff on that. Again, TJ has his book Detached. You can order it now. And the final thing I would say is one quick way to know if screens have gotten out of control in your life is to use that litmus test that my old spiritual director gave me for everything. It was, how does this impact your primary vocation? Primary vocation does not mean the way you earn your money. If you're a husband and a father or a wife and a mother, that's your primary vocation. If you're a priest or a nun, that's your primary vocation. It's the primary group of people who you are supposed to be serving. It's all about service. And so if I can honestly say, how is my screen use impacting my primary vocation? And there are times, definitely not all the time, but there are times when I can say, I think it's good. You know, I go on Instagram, like I see some positive stuff. I follow mostly positive people on Instagram. I see pretty pictures of what's going on in their lives. People tend to say nice things to me on Instagram, like, oh, how sweet. Oh, heart, heart, heart. Oh, smiley emoji. Thank you for that encouragement. And then I can put my phone away and I'm in a good mood, hanging out with my family. I can look forward to watching one shows that I'm really into in the evening. I can say, yeah, that's, I feel good about my screen use in that case. But again, I actually went through this last month. I really had to get myself in check last month when it's like, I'm binge watching shows till 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm getting on Twitter after that. And it's a weeknight. there's that litmus test. How is that impacting my primary vocation? Well, not well, negatively. Have to admit that. I'm more tired the next day. I'm not as just present to my family because I'm tired from watching Westworld or Billions or whatever it is I'm into. And so that has always been an absolutely reliable litmus test to say, is this making me a better wife and mother? And my husband can ask the same thing. Is this making me a better husband and father? And if the answer is no, then that's not from God. Whatever you're doing, it's not from God, because God would never call you to something that makes you a worse spouse or a worse parent. Or again, if you're a priest or a nun, that makes you a worse priest or a worse nun. That's never from God. So how does it impact your primary vocation is a fail-safe, fail-proof, can't fail. It's a litmus test that can't fail for any area of life. All right, let's get some inspiration from Rachel Balducci about how we can all have a fabulous fall up next here on the Jennifer Fulweiler Show.